Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Blast Podcast, a show where we believe movies can be more than just movies. I'm your host, Steve Watts, joined as always by my co-host, Koba. And today is finally the day we get to talk about Monkey. We've booked a resident monkey expert and friend of the pod to join us for that portion of today's episode. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor. Blast version 2.0 is officially here. Ty and I have been hard at work redesigning what we feel is the most important aspect of the Blast app, the theaters page. Search Blast Movie app on the App Store or follow the link on our website at www.blastmovies.net to download Blast and check out our new local spotlight, Blast favorites, and friends favorites sections, as well as our new slider rating system and our very first collaboration with a theater. As always, we appreciate your support. All right, Ty, buy or sell Until Dawn?
Oh, sell. Have you played the game?
I have not, but I've read about it. I'm aware of the game and what it is and what it means.
This is a disgusting adaptation of a video game. It is the story is very different. If you haven't played the game, people, please go play the game. It's fantastic. It's like the perfect choose-your-own-adventure scary game. This movie is taking it in a completely different direction. Do not go see it. I'm selling all stock.
Would you rather watch the Until Dawn movie or Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo.
Ooh, that bad, huh?
Yeah, I thought you were bringing up Gran Torino, and then it would be a tougher conversation.
Oh, brother. Let's not get into that one again. What about the new Marty movie? So it was announced that The Rock has joined the cast of the next Martin Scorsese movie. Ty, are you buying or selling?
I am going to buy. And not only am I going to buy the movie, I'm going to buy Dwayne The Rock Johnson's stock. Throw his past movies aside. Throw his ego aside. I think the rebrand is coming. He's got that Safdie Brother movie coming up, Smashing Machine, where he plays the wrestler. And now he's going to be in a Marty movie. I don't know. He just kind of feels like someone that is in a bunch of bad projects by choice, trying to make a bunch of money. I think if he refines a little bit, has good directors in his pocket, teaching him to refine his game, I think he could be a really talented actor.
I think that The Rock has reached a place in culture that we can't take him seriously anymore. I don't think that no matter what Scorsese does, The Rock gives one serious look, and I think the whole theater starts dying laughing because what is this goober doing here? I'm selling the Marty movie. I am on the Rock stock. I mean, The Rock is going to make so much money. He's going to continue to, but I don't think he fits in a Scorsese movie. But the biggest news of the week was that Amazon shelled out over $1 billion to acquire James Bond from MGM. Buy or sell?
Oh boy. I'm gonna buy. I know this is a crazy take. I don't think they're gonna go in the direction everyone thinks. I don't think we're gonna get a series dumpster fire. I think we're gonna get a big budget Bond movie series. And hear me out. If there's one American production studio to throw $500 million at the best director in the game, firing on all cylinders, wants to do his passion project, I think Amazon is going to go after Chris Nolan to make his James Bond movie series.
Wow. That'd be cool. I don't know if Nolan's in that place of his career right now, though. It feels like Nolan's in a place where he is wanting to make the best movies he possibly can while he has this pull.
He's already said he wants to do Bond, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if this is the time, I guess. I guess that's where we're misaligned here. I'm selling James Bond. I think that they will have a million series, and I think it's going to be awful. I don't trust them to get the James Bond casting right. If Jeff Bezos is tweeting out who you guys casting for James Bond, I'm immediately out. I'm selling everything.
I don't know, dude. That's where I think we're misaligned. I think that any other studio is not giving someone like Dev Patel or Daniel Kaluuya, someone that you and I are pulling for, a shot at Bond. I feel like Amazon would have the balls to do that.
You want to know my hot take?
Let's hear it.
We have so many fucking British people playing standard American roles. We got a Brit playing Batman. We've got a Brit playing Spider-Man. I think we need an American as James Bond.
No, that's fucked.
Yeah, come on. You're telling
that
MBJ
idea.
can't do an accent or something?
Is Damson Idris British?
Not sure.
If he's an American, that could be your guy.
Maybe. I don't know. What about Cavill?
Did you see a screen test for when he auditioned for Bond?
No.
Oh my God, it's bad. It's really bad.
Cavill, I feel like, was meant to play Superman when he did, but I don't know if there is really any career opportunity out there for him now.
Yeah, I think it's gone and went. Maybe like a Reacher-esque series. I don't know.
No, fuck it. TC.
TC is Bond?
TC would work as Bond.
No, he would. He's already American James Bond, bro. Impossible has been the American James Bond for 26 years.
And guess what? Mission Impossible's ending. It's time for him to take over the other shit.
That would be funny. 70-year-old James Bond. I'm for it.
What about Clint Eastwood?
I don't even want to. That would be disgraceful. They would. That would be bad. That would be bad.
Let's talk about Drop. I saw this trailer for the first time actually a couple of weeks ago. I think it was at Hard Eyes for the movie of the week. But Drop is just buy or sell to start.
Sell. I think that anyone that hasn't seen the trailer should stay away from this trailer. There is a very interesting premise pitched in the first 30 seconds, and then the rest of the movie is spoiled. And that's why I'm selling, because if you have to spoil your whole movie in your first trailer, it sucks. So I'm selling my stock.
I'm also selling all out, but partially because the trailer sound design is so, so fucking annoying. Hearing the buzzing in theaters is awful. But also, I mean, later on, we recorded the monkey portion of this pod early, but you had said that there was an easy way for the monkey to be stopped. Dude, you receive the first airdrop. You're like, huh, someone just sent me this. Your date's like, oh, it must be just someone pranking you. You're right. You know, I've been waiting for this day for a long time. I'm just going to turn the phone off. Damn, movie's over.
You don't know it's something evil, do you?
I don't know. I mean, even if you put it on, just put it face down and don't check the phone and you're done. Like, the movie's over.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to, like, get back out there and, like, try and land a second date. You want to stay off your phone. So, I don't know.
It's awful. But what's not awful? 28 years later, I am buying. This movie looks amazing to me.
Yeah, I'm going to buy two. This is one of the better trailers of the last 4 or 5 years, I think, too. The sound design, the music, it's genuinely chilling.
Absolutely. And they got Boyle back directing. They have Garland writing again, which is so cool. I don't know if you knew this, but Alex Garland wrote 28 Days Later way back when. That's such... Reuniting those two is awesome. You have the skeleton thing of Cillian Murphy in the trailer, it looked like, which is cool. I am all in on this. I think it's going to be amazing.
I think they're going to crush it. I think they also said that they shot the whole thing on iPhone. Is that true?
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, 28 Days Later was so revolutionary when that came out. And I feel like, have you seen it?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Okay. I love the grainy look of it. I think that's kind of disputed. There's a world where it comes out clear as day, and I think that's fine, but I'm a fan of it. I think it dates it well. And obviously the first zombies to run. That's so cool. I'm like all in on this.
They'll honor the previous movie here. I'm buying.
I'm sure. Did you happen to see, I forgot to throw this on our outline, but did you see the trailer from the Talk to Me guys? What's it called? Bring Her Back, I think.
Maybe. No, I don't know.
Ooh. Okay. We'll have to talk about this next week, but you should watch it. I am all in on it. It looks amazing.
To talk to me?
No. It's just from the same people. But it's like, it's very cool the way the trailer's done. So check that out whenever we're done. Chinese animation.
Where are you going with this?
Neja 2, the second highest graded grossing animated movie of all time, right?
Yeah. I'm going to sell. I don't know. I feel like American animated movies, or just American movies in general, have a hard time tapping into the Chinese market. No.
Yeah, I don't think there's a ton here. I don't know. It's cool that another country has done this, though. Like, obviously, it's important, I think, for international, like, audiences to have great animation. And from what I've heard, this movie is very, very good. I doubt I'll ever watch it, but still, you know.
Yeah, it's good to see another country pop off. I like that. Is this a sustainable practice? I'm not sure. I think
probably not.
If you bought stock in Chinese animation 8 months ago, you're sitting pretty right now.
Yeah, but the NVIDIA fall off is coming. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you sell high.
All right. Do you have any other buys or sells before we jump into Monkey?
Avengers, Doomsday, and Secret Wars. Now that you've seen Brave New World, they're teasing that. Have you changed your mind?
Believe it or not, I'm buying Avengers Doomsday.
I don't believe you. I think this is sarcasm.
No, okay. The reason is it would take a really phenomenal script, but I buy Anthony Mackie as the leader of the Avengers. And I think that's important.
Very cool. Now, if you're building the Avengers, you're Sam Wilson. Who are the first three you're calling?
Excluding anybody from Endgame, or
no, I mean, yes, of the current Avengers lineup, like, they're still building the Avengers. You can't pick fucking Tony Stark, he's dead.
Yeah. So I'll take Letitia Wright's Black Panther. I'll take Tom Holland Spider-Man on the table, or no?
Yeah,
I'll take him. And the last one's a little harder. I don't know. Do you have anyone in mind here?
I'm going to go. You have to go Black Panther, because you need the pull of Wakanda and their technology too. So I'm going Letitia Wright as Black Panther. I think you got to go for power here. Like, if you're up against Doctor Doom, Carol Danvers needs to be in your lineup. You need Captain Marvel. I think I'd probably go Doctor Strange, because he has experience not just with an Infinity Stone, but also the multiverse. Like, he's equipped for this battle.
My third, I'm taking all four Fantastic Four, if that's allowed.
It's not.
All right, then I'll take Reed Richards.
Okay, cool.
Just because he knows Doom, you know?
I'm with it. I have this weird feeling maybe Holland's not in Doomsday.
It's possible. Tom Holland's kind of fallen off a cliff, man.
Well, dude, he's going to pop off after Odyssey. I mean, if you're going to be the leading man in a Chris Nolan movie, you're going to be okay for 10 years.
True. I think that does it, though. Let's jump over to Monkey. And now, the moment you've surely all been waiting for, please welcome Mr. Monkey to the pod. Joe, hello. Thanks so much for taking some time to join us. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. This has been a long time coming for sure. I am a huge fan of the cast, and not to glaze, but not because it's the boys. I would probably listen to this even if I never knew you guys and I just stumbled upon it on Spotify.
Good show. Joe, stop it. I have to ask, scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you right now going into this pod?
I'm not nervous. I wish I prepared more. This was kind of like an emergency pod for me personally. I was planning on seeing this either the night that it came out or, you know, a more normal time. I mean, I literally walked out of this movie an hour and a half ago just because I had kind of a crazy weekend. The only reason I would be nervous, but I'm excited to talk about it.
While it's so fresh, then let's hear the theater experience. Get it out.
Okay, well, the theater experience was great. I was talking to the guys before this, and I mentioned that I have two really unique experiences here. One was when our friend Ty here and I saw The Northman, which is a completely badass movie. I know that's a favorite on this cast.
Mm-hmm.
And the other time I went there, it was a complete disaster. Nomadland. Anyone seen that movie?
No.
I wrote a term paper on it.
What are your thoughts before I tell you mine?
I honestly hated it, but my professor loved it because I compared it to a movie from the 60s based on the book Grapes of Wrath. And he was like, oh my God, revolutionary. And so he made me write like a 12-page essay on it.
Yeah, that's a good comp. Grapes of Wrath is about people that are getting transplanted. So it kind of sounds like our friend Fern from No Man Land. Anyway, that movie sucked ass. This movie was decent. Side story about the blast experience. Ingrid thought it'd be a great idea. So she's planning a surprise birthday party for her friend in the neighborhood. And I recently cat-sitted for her. And we were going to test if the code that I had to get in the building still worked so that she could plan the surprise party. You guys following?
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to sneak to the front door so the girl doesn't see us, because like the window is right by the front door, and we get completely busted and then have to like scurry away, and then we have to confess that we weren't trying to break in to her over the phone because she called us. We're like, no, we're just possibly planning a surprise birthday. So that happened on the walkover.
Wonderful.
The walk over to the theater.
The walk was crazy.
What about the once you got there, improve or no?
It improved. It's definitely more like an artistic theater. Like, it's not like a Marcus Theater where you go in and it's like, okay, here's your free poster, here's 15 movies that are coming out. It's a little more bare bones, but it makes
super
for a good time.
Bare bones.
Yeah,
Steve, to paint the picture, this thing was like shut down for a year for renovations. Mm-hmm. And they finally reopened it. It's a part of like the Landmark Theater chain downtown Milwaukee. This bad boy, I think it only has two screens, one to the left, one to the right, and a very itty-bitty concession stand right out front. You're afraid of the popcorn and all the concessions. I mean, I don't know if it's nice now, but like you could hear the other theater. When you'd sit in Theater 2, you could hear whatever was playing in Theater 1. It was a little dingy.
Interesting, but a great theater. You like it?
Oh, it's got so much charm.
Okay. I like it. I mean, you can't help but like going to the local spot. You know, it's a good experience.
That's where I saw Worst Person, Steve.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah. I remember that story. That was a great one.
All right. So, Joe, Monkey, what'd you think of the actual movie?
I had a completely different expectation for it because I read the short story that it's based on, which the short story had the typical like Stephen King charm. Like I think it was mostly centered around the kids when they were younger. And they're just like clowning around town. Like it's kind of like it's like a big whodunit, like super childish, but the whodunit is just the monkey and they're just trying to destroy it the whole time. So the movie obviously takes a completely different, route. So it was good.
I read the book too. Ty, did you get a chance to read this one?
Of course not. I'm not doing any extra homework.
Awesome. Just want to confirm that our guest is a little more committed.
Yep.
No, I was interested. I feel like from book to movie, this really just took the concept of the toy monkey that kills people and then put it into an entirely different situation. Like this felt completely new from the book, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I don't, definitely not good comparisons, but some other really famous Stephen King adaptations, Stand By Me, and it obviously, I think those are a lot closer to the source material. This one, I was kind of thinking like, okay, we're going from 30 pages to an hour and a half runtime. I mean, we have a lot that we can build on. Like, are we going to learn about the monkey origins? Are we going to go into like the demonic? Like, why is this thing possessed? And none of that was there for the whole hour and a half.
This is a prequel to Planet of the Apes. All right, then I have to ask, guys. Like,
the monkey's name is actually Caesar.
All right, so since I didn't read it, I had fun. Like, 90 minutes of a body horror comedy. Like, as someone that read the source material, is this an enjoyable watch, or are you almost better off not reading the short story?
I loved it. I don't know. I know that I have different, like, I guess, expectations for adaptations than some people do. But I thought it was great, and it took this pretty bare bones story, like Joe said, into a completely different direction in a perfect way. I thought the comedy worked awesome here, just straight throughout. I was laughing every 5 minutes at this, similar to Y2K a little bit. But I'm sure Stephen King will not be a fan of this movie because it changed his work.
Can I share a quick little blast moment?
Absolutely.
So I woke up this morning in Green Bay. Actually, I was out of town all weekend, and I just happened to mention to my father-in-law that I was doing this tonight, not only seeing the movie, but I was doing the pod with you guys. And he said, "Well, what movie are you seeing?" I said, "The Monkey." And he looked it up, and apparently on Google, they were describing it as splatter horror.
Huh.
Which,
interesting.
If he didn't tell me that and I went into the movie, I would have been appalled. Like, I would have thought I was in the wrong movie based on what was in the book and what was actually on the screen. So the fact that he kind of prepared me for that, because he's a smart guy, like, he would not have led me astray. But it was just sitting in my head all day, like, how could this possibly be splatter horror? Like, I don't do gore. Am I really watching this tonight?
Oh,
I did.
Poor Joe. Poor Joe got set up for a trap in this movie. What was the gnarliest kill for you?
Does anyone want to answer that first? I know mine. Steve, you want to go?
No, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
It has to be the woman who falls through the stairs, gets fish hooked all over her dome, sets herself on fire. I swear to God, as soon as the mom, like, or the aunt, whoever it was, she starts approaching the gas stove, everyone in the movie just went hand over the eyes, like, this, she's getting torched. And then the whole, you know, step in the flower pot, impale yourself on the for sale sign.
Ty, what was your favorite kill?
It comes down to two. The girl exploding, diving into the pool.
That was great.
So the realtor taking the shotgun to the entire body.
Can I say something about that scene, too?
Mm-hmm.
Did the real estate agent come into the car window give complete smile vibes? Do you guys know the famous smile jump scare where it's like the same exact shot? And, you know, in Smile, obviously, like, the dead girl's head, like, pops up. Totally reminded me of that.
I think that's a fair comp. my favorite kill of this one was the first one. The guy at the, like, thrift store, pawn shop, or whatever, just getting disemboweled. because I think that set the mood of the movie so perfectly. I feel like Longlegs is such a, like, gritty masterpiece, and Black Coat's Daughter also very dark, very serious. And from that point, I was like, okay, if Osgood Perkins is John Carpenter, then Black Coat's Daughter is his Halloween, and Longlegs is his The Thing, and then this is going to be like a They Live, where you're just going to have a great time. You can tell that everybody making this movie is having a blast, and it's contagious. I feel like this is just so fun.
I think Osgood Perkins is going to be the next James Wan, now that you mention it. Like, we've got three extremely different horror movies. You've got Black Coat's Daughter, the elevated horror. You've got Long Legs, the psychological thriller. And then The Monkey is a comedy horror body horror movie. Like, being that versatile in your, like, first three big movies is so huge. And I feel like the only person that can do The Conjuring and then Malignant is James Wan, and I think Oz Perkins, like, has that same trajectory.
What's Hansel and Gretel's comp then?
For me, it would be Malignant, because I don't love that one. Maybe Saw 2.
fair. Is the best funeral scene in movie history in this movie?
This is a blast moment for me. So I went to go see this at 10:30 in the morning today, and it was me, like, two dudes behind me, and I swear to God, when that first funeral scene hit and the priest shows up and starts yapping, the two of us were belly laughing, and we kept, like, we infected each other. Like, one would stop laughing, the other would start laughing and pick it up. And then I swear it was like a 6-minute belly laugh fest between the two of us. Fantastic scene.
It's so good. The priest is just walking up the holy fuck is that got me. I was sent.
And it's such an absurd scene, but it just fits the bill with the rest of the movie. I mean, there's just a lot of out of pocket moments, and it just makes perfect sense that the priest is a complete goober.
It is what it is, man.
In the word of the Lord, it is what it is. Amen.
I don't know if I can seriously put the funeral in front of our favorite show, Hill House. Anyone remember the extended, that really long cut where they're in the funeral home and like all the, they're like panning around the room and you see like all the ghosts in the hallways.
God, when that's such a great
scene. When I think funeral scenes, you got to talk about that one.
It's a interesting. Great pick. And Steve, you notice he's on your team bringing up Hill House in a movie conversation.
There you go. Limited series belong here.
Limited series, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ty, did I ever make you watch Synecdoche? Joe, I'm assuming you haven't watched Synecdoche, New York, right?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
Neither one of us has seen it, Steve.
But go on, Steve.
There are 6 funerals in that movie, and one of them has one of the best monologues I've ever heard in my entire life, where basically this guy is just ranting about the nature of things and how exhausting it is, but I highly encourage you to check it out. Ty, maybe I'll make you watch that for a movie swap or something. It's one of the biggest box office flops in movie history.
You have another Lord of the Rings movie load in if you do it.
fuck you. Okay. Theo James, is this a comeback or a one-hit wonder? I don't think I've actually seen this guy since Divergent.
It's a one-hit wonder, and I'll even go as far as to say, if he isn't as hot as he is in this movie, everyone would be dunking on it. I don't know if there's a lot here from Theo James.
What about the mullet? He's not hot with the mullet.
I don't know, dude. That's an attractive fella.
You could pretty much pull off whatever you put on his dome. I mean, guy is just a beast.
Yeah.
This is kind of embarrassing, but the whole movie, I was trying to think, like, what is his last name? I knew Theo, obviously. Like, he's, you know, pretty prominent in pop culture. I mean, Divergent was a classic back in the day. And I'm looking at him like, who is this guy? And finally, I realized Theo James, but I think that's just a testament. Like, he's kind of out of the picture. Like, he's going to be a Hollywood name the rest of his life and quite possibly could not get another gig. So
this is not Josh Hartnett in any capacity. This will be a one-off. Maybe we get Divergent 7 or something. He comes back, but no way.
He's going to be the lead of a Marvel movie. I promise. They're going to be like, hey, Monkey did pretty good. I wonder if it's all just because of that Theo James guy.
The next MCU Super Monkey.
Genuine question. Could Osgood Perkins direct a superhero movie? I think yes.
Yes, if it's like Chronicle toned.
Ooh, I could see it, but like James Wan did Aquaman. I mean, I think Perkins could tap into something. Maybe Spawn.
I guess my point is, I don't think Perkins could do Marvel. I think he could do something standalone or under the right circumstances of DC, but probably not even that. Really just like maybe a Brightburn type. I don't know.
I think looking at his filmography, he was all over the board until recently, right? I mean, coming off of Long Legs and going right into another horror movie, like, is that something you've seen in Osgood Perkins' career? I mean, he's all over the place. I don't think a superhero movie is really off the plate for him.
Hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Ty? Do you think he can?
I really do. I think that if James Wan can do it, I think he can do it. I'm not saying it's like his next project. I think there's a lot more to tap into in the horror movie realm that he wants to do, but I could see it. I really could.
I think saying if James Wan can do it, Osgood Perkins can do it is just like crazy disrespectful.
Not necessarily. Dude, I'm telling you, this versatility we're seeing from this guy, He is like one scene away from a masterpiece in all three of these movies. I really feel like Longlegs, Black Coat's Daughter, and this movie is missing just one moment or one, I don't know, one defining factor to make it a masterpiece. He is due for his magnum opus.
Maybe. Or maybe his magnum opus was Black Coat's Daughter.
I don't think so. I think we're the best is yet to come.
Okay. I like the optimism there. Theo James, though, he does play two people in this. Is this the best one actor playing two people performance, or is that still Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler?
Oh, I've got a way better answer for this.
Hit me, Joe.
It's got to be Armie Hammer in The Social Network.
All right. So, Armie Hammer. Sweet.
Hey, I mean, not to go there. I know Armie Hammer's, that's kind of a contentious subject, but he was the Winklevoss twins. I mean,
good characters. Call it how it is. I'll give you a better answer. Lindsay Lohan, Parent Trap. It's the best.
You took mine. You took mine, asshole.
Hey, just start preparing.
That's why
more.
I took the risk with Army.
I like the Army Hammer take, but I think you're right, Ty. I think Parent Trap is the one.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
What the hell is Elijah Wood doing here? This is when Elijah Wood showed up in this movie, I started belly laughing. Like I could not believe that he was here. What is he doing in this?
I don't know, but I'm not complaining. I mean, he's like the perfect goofy. What exactly is his profession? Can someone help me?
Dad.
His character in the movie?
Yeah.
Weren't those all those books around him? He was like Jesus dad. Like was he like a dad for hire, like in the name of the Holy Spirit? I mean, he didn't get a lot of screen time, but I thought that's what all those props, like the it's like Jesus dad or something really strange.
It's like in past lives when you see that the husband there wrote the book called Boner, and you're like, yeah, maybe we can just leave that up to the imagination. We probably don't need to explore that any further.
Probably not. Who else could have played Elijah Wood in this spot? Like first name that comes to mind is Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, I was
Matthew
go
Broderick for me.
Ooh.
Tony Maguire, just purely based on looks for some reason. He just kind of feels like kind of a weirdo.
Another goober.
The Rock.
Basically. The Rock.
Fuck it. Throw The Rock in there. Make Kevin Hart the mom or something. I don't know. No. There's a way to make it happen.
Oh boy. I was, oh god. Oh boy.
On a more serious note. This movie goes an absurd amount of time before Theo James tells his kid about the monkey. Like you said, the diving scene with the girl. This girl dives off a diving board and just completely explodes in like the backyard of the motel they're staying at. And he doesn't tell the kid. I feel like you have to tell him right there, right? Or do you keep holding it?
No, you have to. I cannot understand why he keeps burying it. And we're going to get into this. I want to talk more about this, but Joe, I'm curious to see your strat.
I mean, it's just a tough one to navigate. Like, some people, like, in the real world, you're like, okay, do I tell their kid, like, we're getting a divorce, like, we're poor, like, we can't pay the bills. Like, this dude, he is at a fork in the road, and it's either go back to only seeing him for a week out of the year, or going, hey, little Timmy, there is a possessed monkey that your uncle and I have been dealing with for the past X amount of years. I mean, which you just can't.
All right.
I couldn't,
Steve,
do it.
Give your answer, and then I'm going to break this down.
I would tell him as soon as the lady blows up, when I wake him up in the middle of the night and say we have to leave this motel immediately.
I think that once, and all right, spoiler warning for the monkey. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But so once he realizes that his brother is in possession of the monkey and trying to kill him, you have to tell your son. You have to warn him of the impending danger. However, I think that this movie could just be avoided if the dad, Adam Scott, Severance guy, like, is a present father and is just in possession of the monkey at all times, not turning the key. And then when he's like 65, his kids are grown up at 30, you then reveal like, hey, I have to protect this monkey or people will die. All I have to do is not turn the key. You soon will have to do the same. That should have been the strat, not hide from your family, because they're going to make the same fucking mistake and turn the key once.
But then we don't have a podcast this week if that happens.
Yeah, that's like the argument like, oh, why didn't the Empire shoot down the escape pod even there, if there were no life forms? Like,
all right, fine.
That's too logical. Like,
I'm just telling you, like, Theo James messed up. Like, he didn't have a present father. And because of that, a lot of people died because they kept testing the monkey. He should have learned from his experience as a kid and just safeguarded the monkey.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, though. I feel like, isn't that what the monkey is about? Like, inheriting the sins of your father and trying not to fall into the same trap, trying to be your own person instead of, like, being the shit that was passed on to you?
Nah, this is just Final Destination, bro. It's Tenet. Don't try and understand it.
Okay.
That was cute, though.
Thank you. Nice, I appreciate it. Nice
try, Steve. That was very scholarly of you to include that.
The brother in this, speaking of, though, Ty, is horrible. Like, he is one of the worst characters in cinematic history. But I gotta say, so I was listening to the audiobook for this while I was working this week, and when I had completely forgotten that it was by Stephen King, and I'm listening to all the bullying in this audiobook, and I'm like, damn, these bullies are worse than like fucking Stephen King bullies. And then I put it back together like, oh, okay, it makes sense now. Are the bullies, including the brother in this, the worst bullies in movie history?
Joe, you got a few?
I don't know if I can pull bullies. I think the bullying in the movie version of this is just, it's just humiliating. Like, dude is literally getting pantsed in the locker room by like all the girls in school, then getting banana peeled at the what was that? Like, he's just sitting in the gym and just gets caught lacking, just smearing bananas all over him.
My favorite part of that scene, the logistics behind it, we're talking about like 14-year-old kids. Do you know how many fucking dollars they had to put together to buy?
They're like 70 cents a pound. Like, all of their allowance money is on bananas this week.
That was like a $70 investment worth of bananas for a prank.
Did you guys notice when Hal, the kid, he walks into the men's room and it's half like they're drawing up the X's and O's for the football team on the whiteboard in the men's, like, not even the locker room. That was like, he was in the hallway of the school. Like,
no,
I don't know. If you guys rewatch it, look for that part of the scene. He walks in, the camera's facing him and not the girls are about to pants him. They have like a football play as if it was like for the school football team on the whiteboard. That's what caught my attention for some reason.
What play was it? Philly special?
It was a stick and nod.
Ah.
Best this is in the Remember the Titans cinematic universe.
Yeah. Nice. All right,
Steve, bullies in movies. Biff from Back to the Future was the first one that came to mind. Classic. And then, help me out on their names, but not just the kid, but the Dursley family in Harry Potter.
Like Dudley, yeah.
Yeah.
Dudley. God, those
Dudley
are good answers.
And his parents. They're all assholes to Harry. It's terrible.
Mine, Ty, have you seen Sleepaway Camp?
No.
Oh, man. Judy from Sleepaway Camp is one of the worst bullies I've ever seen. But I think the actually worst one is the kid from It who's like carving people up. That shit's crazy. Yeah.
Stephen King.
There you go. Top three Stephen King adaptations. And where does the monkey fall?
Ooh. Or Joe, you just gave your list, right? If you want to rattle those.
I kind of did, yeah. I think the most noteworthies are definitely Stand By Me. I think that one is basically considered a classic at this point, no?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I kind of went through a phase, personally, where I was really into coming-of-age movies. Like, I think I watched, like, The Karate Kid. I don't know if you guys consider that coming-of-age. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
actually, it is. That's also a movie with some good bullying in there. Quality bullying.
See, but anyway, Cobra Kai wrote that off.
Coming of age movies. Where was I going with that? Moonrise Kingdom by Wes Anderson. Coming of age movie. You know, he's getting a girl. He's a Boy Scout. He's coming up in the world. And Stand By Me, of course. That one is like the most realistic. You're like, okay, like, you know, becoming a man.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I remember back when I was 12. I actually called up Ty, and we took Jack Wade, and it was Jake Culp, and we went on a 26-mile hike. It was pretty crazy, though, because Ty almost got hit by the train. Yeah, so.
No, I was Kiefer Sutherland trying to kill Steve.
That's a good bully. That's a good bully.
That's still modern day Ty as well.
Stephen King.
Stephen King.
All right. Was Stephen King the bully, and that's why he's so good at writing bullies, or was he the kid always getting bullied?
Definitely getting bullied.
I think he's never even seen bullying. Dude, like, there is no way that bullying like this actually exists without intervention, right?
Someone's got to step in.
Apparently not. All right, my top three Stephen King adaptations. Stand By Me is in that list. I'd go It Chapter One, and then I know Stephen King hates it, but you got to go The Shining. It's one of the best movies of all time.
You know what's funny is there are a lot of great ones and also a lot of really, really bad ones. My top three, Stand By Me, I have in common with you. I love Misery. James Caan, Kathy Bates, amazing. And then Shawshank, I feel like just has to be in the top three. Monkey is probably around like seven for me because you still got The Shining. You still got like The Mist. I'm a huge fan of Christine. There are just a lot of great adaptations, and then you get down to like and the Dead Zone with Walken, maybe a little lower, closer to top 30.
You know, I think I actually have to change my list here. I don't know. I'm falling asleep at the wheel. I totally forgot about The Shining, which is embarrassing. But I think I want to swap. I think I'm going to swap It Chapter One out of number two. I want to put The Shining at number two, and I'm going to keep Monkey at three, which is kind of silly because I wasn't huge on it. But I actually haven't seen a lot of Stephen King movies. And the Monkey.
So you've got Monkey over Shawshank?
I haven't seen Shawshank Redemption. I'm sorry.
That's crazy. That is crazy. What about Osgood Perkins? How are you ranking the big three?
Oh, I haven't seen Black Coat's Daughter, which is probably going to bring tears to your guys' eyes. You talk about that one a lot.
Indeed.
I got to take long legs over this. I'm doing this as Osgood Perkins top two, opting out of that third one. And long legs clears this for sure.
Okay.
And then this is just simply number two.
Ty, what about you?
I would go Monkey is a clear three for me. Like, it's not close. Monkey's three, and not in a bad way. I had fun with Monkey. I just think the next two are that much better. I'm going to go Black Coat's Daughter, Long Legs, Monkey. I feel like the legs that Black Coat's Daughter has had, I feel like it's just had a lasting impression, and that outweighs the recency bias of Long Legs and that impression it had on me.
You're making my day. That's my top three.
Hooray!
I seriously think Black Coat's Daughter is just one of the most I feel like if it comes out 5 years later, it's perfect. Like, if it comes out post Hereditary, that movie gets so much traction. But like, if you look on Letterboxd, Black Coat's Daughter only has 100,000 logs. Long Legs has like 1.5 million. That is absurd.
Yeah.
Do I need to go watch Black Coat's Daughter like immediately?
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Can you guys give me like an elevator pitch about this movie?
Steve.
Basically, two girls have to stay at a Catholic boarding school over winter break for, I think it all just takes place over 2 days.
Oh.
And some demonic things begin to occur.
Okay, so that's kind of up the alley of Heretic with the whole two Catholic girls. Or, I guess, not Catholic in that movie, but interesting. Yeah. So, can we talk Long Legs for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How does that movie hold up? It hasn't been out that long, only a couple months, but is that still something that you guys see as like a noteworthy movie?
I think so. I rewatched it this week. I rewatched that and Black Coats just in prep for this pod and for a video I'm working on. I think Long Legs might be a rare movie that is more effective at home alone, like in the dark. Like, this is a movie that if you watch it like you do a Skinamarink or something like that, you're going to have a lot more tension and a lot more details that you're going to notice than when you're in the theater and you're having those big reactions from everybody. Like, Ty, I remember people were pretty vocal in that theater. Oh, yeah. of how they were feeling. And I felt like I absorbed a lot more in this at-home watch.
Joe, for me, what I think of with Long Legs is kind of Insidious, where it's not necessarily the plot points that resonate with me or stick in my head. It's just the vibes, the goosebumps, the chills I got. I think with the doll and the red eyes and the serpent.
That, dude, that freaked me out.
Yeah, like that movie just fucked me up the same way Insidious did, and I think it's just ingrained in my brain in that way.
Yeah, I think the scares in that movie were super tasteful too. I think to point out the obvious, that movie was so hyped up. It came out at the perfect time. The social media marketing was great. Everyone wanted to see it. I think that might have been the most important part about that movie, was that everyone was seeing it. Everybody had an opinion on it. And I think for me, and the reason I brought it up, is that I know people that don't even watch movies that for some reason are still talking about Long Legs.
That heartbeat ad where they show Micah Monroe's heartbeat the first time she sees Nicolas Cage as Long Legs is maybe the greatest horror movie ad of all time.
I think this movie has some of the greatest marketing of all time, and I'm not exaggerating. I think that maybe more movies need to take notes, like lean into your marketing budget more.
I also think that part of the reason the marketing works so well is because it's shot so perfectly start to finish that the shots in the trailer look so intriguing. Like, you have those weird fisheye of Micah Monroe and you're throwing off the audience immediately just seeing that piece of the trailer and being like, okay, something's weird here. Like, I feel like the whole thing is just done perfectly.
Without question. I don't know. I think the cinematography might be the best element. I think that's why it's like so impactful or like resonates. Like, there's so many chilling shots throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's close this thing off with the monkey movie draft. I think guidelines here, 3 rounds, snake draft, obviously. Only one Planet of the Apes movie for each person. And monkey movie, are we saying any movie that includes a monkey as like an integral part?
Are we drafting the movies or are we drafting the specific monkey within,
like, the movie?
Am I naming the monkey or am I naming the movie for this?
The movie.
Okay. Ooh. There might be some Steve moments in here. I might have to work Ty a little bit to make sure that these are legal choices.
Oh. All right, Joe, do you want the first pick? And then Ty, do you want the middle or do you want the turn?
I'll go middle. I'll take the 1-2.
Okay,
two.
I'll take the 3. And Joe, lead us off. What's your 1-1 pick for the monkey draft?
I'm going to go with movie 1 of the newest Apes franchise, just Planet of the Apes. I think that might be Alabama here. You just can't go wrong. Leading up to this, I thought we were going to do monkeys. I'm going Koba. Do the Savage.
All right. So is your first pick Koba or is it Planet of the Apes?
It's Planet of the Apes, but I could scrap every other monkey and I'm just taking Koba on my squad.
All right. Fine. So I'll take Caesar at the 1-2, just as a formality at this point. But my movie
gotta tip your
is
cap.
My favorite of the Reeves movies. I'll go War for the Planet of the Apes. A great blast movie, but just a great movie in general.
Love it. For my formality, I'll take Maurice at the 1-3, but I'm taking the OG Planet of the Apes. This movie is actually still really good. Some of the effects have aged a little poorly, but it's all practical, and the story itself is really cool. One of the greatest endings of all time. And my second pick is going to be the most memorable monkey experience I've ever had in a movie theater. Nope.
Fuck. Damn it.
Yeah, me too, Joe. Me too.
Wait, you can't have it unless you know that chimp's name. What's his name?
Gordy.
Okay.
Oh, Gordo. Gordo, isn't it?
No, nah, it's Gordy. It's
Gordy, because I confirmed. I was excited about getting Gordy. Fuck.
Oh, my Uh-oh. God. All right. Damn, good pick, Steve. I'm gonna go Aladdin then.
Great choice.
In the middle. I don't get the turn. I'm not used to this. I'll just take Aladdin. Joe, your pick.
Okay. I'm going with Friends. I'm going with Marcel, wow, the monkey that Ross has in the apartment. Come on, you guys remember the episode, right?
I recall it was like a whole season. Even better.
What are we thinking? Is that legal? Yep.
Joe, were you born in 99 or 2000?
2000.
Then you're not allowed to have friends.
All right. I got another reach here. Drake and Josh.
This guy came with zero movies.
Drake and Josh, there's an episode where they're at the car dealership and that there's the chimp at the car dealership.
Go ahead. All take right. it.
Can I have it?
Yep. Unfortunately, Joe, I think you need to make another pick. You have the turn.
Okay. And at the turn, I'm taking Dunstan from Dunstan Checks In. All time blast movie for me.
All right.
It's about a chimp that lives in a hotel.
Steve, you tried to mention it. What is the rule surrounding monkey movies?
I think when a monkey has an integral piece of the plot, like it can't just be a little cameo. I don't know. Like, I don't think Night at the Museum would count for the monkey, like pissing on Ben Stiller. I think that it has to be a monkey who, like, it actually contributes in some way to the plot.
All right. This doesn't count. I would take Monkey Man and try and defend it with my life because he does wear a monkey mask the entire movie. But I feel like that's kind of cheating. So I'm going to go Zookeeper, the Kevin James movie where there's a talking gorilla. Like all the animals are talking to him. Do you guys ever see this?
Yep, I did.
Really, really, really good movie if you haven't seen it.
Thanks. I'll take King Kong with the last pick of the draft. Fucking hell, guys.
I can't believe that fell. How did that fall?
Honorable mentions. I had 16 movies prepped for this because I was pushing for a 5 monkey draft.
Yeah.
I would be honorable cooked. Mentions to Tarzan, George of the Jungle. I was surprised Ty didn't go there for the Brendan Fraser love. The Lion King with Rafiki, and 28 Days Later starts with the monkey causes the zombie outbreak. Last mention, this is another great theater monkey moment. Do you remember seeing Ad Astra and then like the rabid baboon starts attacking Brad Pitt in space?
That's
not right at all.
Dang. All right. Never mind then.
Can I pick a movie off waivers right away?
Yeah, sure.
Give me Madagascar.
It's a good pull. It's a good pull.
Ty, I thought you were going to take Better Man.
I didn't see it, so I didn't want to.
Fair. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening to us talk about monkeys for 40 minutes here. But go download the Blast app if you have not already. You can either follow the link on our website, www.blastmovies.net, or search the Blast Movie app on the Apple App Store. Also, check out our Instagram at blast.movies, our TikTok at blast.movies, and, of course, our YouTube at blast.movies. Thanks again for listening, and have a great rest of your week. Joe, thanks again for coming on.
No problem.